Steve Hartman.
You proved once again you are the biggest jackass on the planet.
Mike Costa.
And just simple things like getting out of bed or stepping over the bathtub to get into the shower.
It's Loose Cannons time.
Hour number two, the Loose Cannons on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego, 103.3 FM. It is indeed the day before the start of the baseball season. We're asking you, get your picks in today. Who's going to be in the World Series? Who's going to win the World Series? Who are the league MVPs? You can text them, 70470. You can send them via Twitter, at Cannon Hartman and Costa 1360. We're compiling a consensus of our Cannon audience to put against our own picks for the upcoming season. Of course, the Padres will open up their schedule at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. Interesting scheduling, Costa, because you have tomorrow, Friday, Saturday against the Brewers, and then Easter Sunday, no baseball for the Padres. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week, they will host the Rockies.
Okay.
You're not big on that. Well, you need it because you have that very busy day now that you have extra, you know, Easter egg hunt people at
That's
your
right.
house.
That's damn straight.
Does that mean how many eggs are going to, there's going to be three participants?
Four.
Four now.
Me, maybe five.
Wait a second.
Never know.
So there's Toph, who's almost 16.
We'll probably have between 50 and 60 eggs hidden.
50 or 60 eggs. What was Toph's former haul? What do you have? About
20, 25?
You had 25 eggs for a kid doing his own Easter egg hunt?
Yeah. Do you color them yourself?
We will color eggs.
Yeah.
We do that every single year.
Okay.
But we keep those kind of like in this basket in the house.
Oh, okay.
I will not put a hard-boiled egg outside.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
Because who wants a hard-boiled egg?
I love hard-boiled eggs.
So do I, but I don't want to, if I'm hunting for an egg, I want it full of candy and cash, not egg.
set of car keys.
All I know is that when I went Easter egg hunting, there was nothing in the egg other than an egg.
Oh, no. You don't go actually hunting for actual eggs.
That's what I did when I was a kid.
That's what I did.
Whoa.
What rarefied air do you live in? Whoa. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
They do things differently on the Ponderosa.
I was going to say. I don't know. That's how we used to. Yeah, you know, you'd have the eggs. You have the hard-boiled eggs. You would decorate them.
Yeah.
You'll never even get through the first gate of security with those.
My parents would hide them out in the backyard around the house for my sister and I. We'd go up, I'll find the eggs.
I have never hunted for an ordinary egg.
What?
In an Easter egg hunt. It's always eggs full of candy.
The guy upstairs, I think that's how he originally planned it.
I don't think that guy really planned it.
How did the Easter egg hunt even begin?
Seriously.
He created the Easter Bunny for good times.
Yeah. Hey, before we get to the 4 at 4, someone has taken umbrage with our baseball knowledge.
What?
Says, you guys don't know who Yelich is? Okay, yeah, you guys are losing to Mark and Rich. Fake baseball guys.
Who said they didn't know who Yelich was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy. I never brought his name up.
Somebody predicted that
Yelich would be the MVP.
Right. Mad because the fire sale in Miami. His agent said, yeah, you guys better trade him sooner than later.
You know what it is?
What?
Who do they play tomorrow? Who's in town now?
Oh, okay.
That's right, Brewtown. Cry.
That's what it is.
Well, that's what it is. That's a Mark and Rich. Yeah.
It is.
That's a Mark. You always know the plants.
That's right.
Yeah. Fake baseball guys. You really want to call me a fake baseball guy?
If he's saying that we didn't pick Yelich as the MVP, I looked at Nolan Arenado. He's gone from a candidate from MVP from sixth,
yes,
fifth,
mm-hmm,
fourth. I think this is a year.
No, he'll be third. See, I'm going to go that way. Sixth, fifth, fourth, third,
making leaps and then and
second, and then first.
Should I read their phone number out over the air?
Yes, let's do that.
Dang it.
These are fake Mark and Rich guys.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Whatever.
All right, it's that time.
4 at 4.
4 at 4.
Four top stories of the day. Ernie Martinez, he's always laughing. 4 at 4
is brought to you by Sombrero Mexican Food, serving the freshest San Diego-style Mexican food.
That's right. Get in there right now. Baja-style tacos. You've got the fish. You've got the calamari and the new grilled shrimp and lots of healthy alternatives as well. Check out the menu, sombreromex.com.
Let's get it started.
Number 4.
exciting stories and much, much more.
The Masters is more exclusive than you think.
Yeah, this blew me away when Hartman over here, we were, you know, prepping for the show, mentioned what the field could possibly look like for what is going to be heaven next week.
Yeah, heaven next week. The Masters will get underway next week. So in the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, a.k.a. British Open, and the PGA, the other three majors, all have 156 golfers, exactly 156 in the field. The Masters is an invitational, and there's a qualifying process to get into the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, at most, they will have 88 golfers. They have 87 right now. They have one more tournament this weekend in Houston. If the winner there hasn't already qualified to be a Masters, that's it. That's the last chance to get in the Masters field. But this is going to be the smallest Masters field in 20 years.
I kind of like that it's that exclusive.
Well, think about this. So you have currently 87 guys in the field. 20 of them are there because they are former winners.
And that's once you win, you're
that's
in for life.
That's it for life, yes. Okay. Now, a lot of former winners eventually say enough's enough.
Yeah.
Tom Watson did that a
couple
of years ago.
Of course, keeps them alive.
Usually about mid-60s, if they're still playing, they're done. And then, of course, the other ways to qualify, last five champions in the other major golf terms.
Sure.
If you're ranked top 50 in the world rankings. Of course, if you win a tournament during that calendar year, that automatically will qualify for the Masters. And then they have the amateurs. There's always six amateurs, and this is going back to Bobby Jones, the creator of the Masters. He was never a professional golfer, always was an amateur. So you have the top two finishers in the U.S. amateur, you have the British amateur winner, Asian Pacific, Latin American amateur, U.S. mid-amateur. And so that, yeah, it's a pretty exclusive field, but it's a great advantage for ex-champions because once you've won it, there's no pressure.
No.
You know, you're like a Jordan Spieth, you know. When you're a young golfer and you've already won the Masters and know you can play in it forever.
Well, think what the load off Sergio Garcia's shoulders is like.
It took him 19 years. He played more Masters before winning a Masters than anyone ever. 19.
Phil Mickelson, for that matter. I mean, the longest time, the guy who couldn't win the big one. And then finally does it multiple times.
Well, remember Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy is trying to complete the career Grand Slam. You know, this is it. He's won the U.S. Open. He's won the Open Championship. He's won two PGAs. So the guy that I'm watching this week is Rory McIlroy. Can he finally break through and win the Masters?
So Tiger's favorite at 9-1. Rory 10-1.
He's 10-1.
Dustin Johnson,
who's never won, and Justin Thomas. Also, who has never won the Masters. So I sort of like it when you get a first-time Masters winner.
Oh.
Because, like last year with Sergio, I was actually watching a little of that this morning. And I always go to the Golf Channel, and they were playing highlights from last year's Masters. And when he made the last putt, when it went in, and he realized finally, after all these years, that he had become, as he said, I'm a Masters champion. They'll never take that away from me, man.
And you think, we always talk in terms of, let's say, a Dan Fouts or a Dan Marino in the NFL. Never won a Super Bowl. You talk about guys who've played baseball the longest time, never even sniffed a World Series. Think about how many guys have played golf.
Yes,
exactly. And never won the Masters.
Well, and some great golfers never won the Masters.
Awesome golfers.
The best is Trevino, and he just did not play well at Augusta.
Greg Norman.
Oh, my.
Meltdown.
Oh, my. 1996, five-shot lead going into the final round, and he ended up losing by six. Faldo, who won his third Masters that year, and they played together, right? And Faldo said, man, I didn't even know what to say at the end. It's like, dude.
Yeah, and he still has not revealed what he told Norman as the round ended.
Yeah.
He just said, that's between, Greg and I.
You suck.
You're even a bigger choke artist than I thought.
I didn't know sharks could choke.
Yeah. England is so much better than Australia.
Suck. So we're going to be all over next week, the Masters in Augusta.
Number three.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show, Let's Make a Dope Deal.
Allegedly.
I like that show.
Is he worth the price?
That's a good question right now.
Yeesh.
Now, the New York Giants are not publicly saying they're shopping Odell Beckham around, But what they do is, this is how teams operate. You send out a message to Schefter or one of those guys, right? And you basically say, put it out there what our asking price would be. But if you're asked directly, oh, no, no, we have no intention of getting rid of him. Here's what the Giants are asking for. Two number ones. At least two number ones for Odell Beckham. He's 25 years old. He'll be 26 in November. He missed 12 games last year. He only played four games last year. In fact, he's missed 17 games in 4 years. When he does play, you can make the argument he's as good as they come as far as wide receiver talent is concerned. No question about that. Would you give up two number ones for a wide receiver?
No. Put it okay, let me take that back. If it was someone who didn't come with the off-the-field baggage, especially with this new video where the chicks in bed with them, chalk and rails, whatever that means.
Allegedly.
you know, then I would go, let's say it's a Jordy Nelson with Odell Beckham Jr.'s talent. That would be the no-brainer.
Yeah, but let's say you're the 49ers, all right? Let's say you're the 49ers right now. You got Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, do you see his girlfriend, Jimmy Garoppolo?
No. I don't look. I'm married, Steve.
And this is why I consider if your team like the Rams.
Yes.
Where you have everything in place to make a huge splash.
Yeah.
You give first round picks aren't always going to pan out.
No. And you, that's a very good point.
And you get a guy who's in his prime who could eventually change his attitude for a couple of years.
Let me tell you something. There was a team called the Oakland Raiders.
That's right.
Who gave up two number one picks to sign Ted Hendricks.
And how did that work out three Super Bowls later?
They gave up two number ones to sign him Ted Hendricks.
I think a lot of it depends on where is that first round pick. Like this year, the Rams pick like 23rd or 24th. That's practically a second round pick.
Well, that's what the Raiders thought back in the day.
I would do that.
Yeah, we're at the bottom of the barrel. And, you know,
yeah, I'd do two late first rounders for him, definitely.
Who would he be? I mean, the 49ers just come to, I mean, if you had him with a Jimmy Garoppolo, wow. That would be something else. It'll be interesting. So that's the asking price. Now, that doesn't mean if someone calls and said, I'll tell you what, forget the two number ones. I'll give you a first and a third.
Right.
I'll give you a first and a third.
Yeah, right. Now they're just looking to see, okay, who's going to bite on this.
Right. I mean, that's two starting players. We're going to give you a first and a third.
But you know how it happens, too. If the Rams catch wind that the 49ers possibly could be interested in Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
Oh, you can't mess on that guy, and they'll overpay.
Mm. Well, that's what the Giants are hoping for. Giants have an interesting thing, because you got the Beckham situation, and you still have the second pick in the draft.
Yes.
They're still floating that thing around. I guess the Giants have to figure this. 2 years ago, you're in the playoffs. You won 11 games. Last year, the wheels came off. Are you rebuilding? Was last year an aberration because of the Beckham injury? Obviously the dynamic between McAdoo and Eli Manning, or are you still a contender? I mean, that's what they have to figure out.
Well, I think they figured out they're reloading. If they go to rebuild,
right?
They're telling everybody, okay, yeah, Eli's playing out the string, and we're going to go back to square one.
Yeah, who would you rather throw to you, Jared Goff or Eli Manning?
Well, if I were Beckham, I want to be on that young Ram team right now. Absolutely. No question.
And, you know, let's think about, too, warm weather city, Goff younger, stronger than an Eli Manning. Eli has it between the ears, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, the Rams are sniffing it right now.
Yeah, but they're basically telling the Rams at least, not just two number ones, at least two number ones.
Number two.
And it is. Who better for MVP than me?
Yeah, but you know, when this claim came out, when you look and do the homework and look at the numbers, this man's right.
LeBron James is the MVP every year. Let's talk about him versus James Harden. Harden is going to win the MVP. I don't know if it's going to be unanimous like it was for Steph Curry a couple of years ago, which was a joke, but it's going to be pretty close to unanimous. Let's look at the numbers. All right. The only major category that Harden has LeBron beat is scoring. 30.7 to 27.4. Check out those field goal percentages. Harden is at 44.8. LeBron is at 54.8. LeBron is second in the league in assists at 9.1. Harden's third at 8.7. LeBron averages 8.6 rebounds. Harden 5.4. It's not even close. And that doesn't even count the fact that Cleveland has been a train wreck this year.
Yeah, there's been one constant for Cleveland. It's James.
I mean,
that's it.
They've shuffled players in and out. Isaiah Thomas was hurt. Then he was gone. They have new players. And somehow they've kept their heads above water.
Your
all
coach
based
is
on one guy.
Internal bleeding and yeah, heart, chest
pains.
He's
not even there right now.
Right.
Why is it in the NBA that they're probably the only sport really on a season-to-season basis who players talk about them being an MVP rather than other sports? It always seems, I mean,
there's something to be said about the egos in the NBA. While that MVP award is so valuable.
Yeah, but in basketball, you can have one player be the team
yes,
and still be successful. You can't do that in any of the other sports.
Michael Jordan only won 5 MVPs. He should have won 10. Same thing with LeBron. He's won 4 MVPs. He should have won 8 to 10. But it's almost like these writers that vote are like, well, we got to spread it around. Really? Why? In hockey, Wayne Gretzky won the Hart, which is the MVP, 8 straight years. Tiger was the golfer of the year like 10 straight years. It wasn't like they said, well, he's won it every year. We'll give it to somebody else. What does that have to do? It's that year. Who's the most valuable player? Every year that LeBron, over the last 10 years, he has been the most valuable player in this league.
You have to just ask yourself the simple question. Without LeBron, where
we've seen
are,
it.
Okay.
When he left Cleveland, how'd they look?
Okay. And Harden not in Houston, they're mm-hmm, not as bad off.
Well, they also added Chris Paul this
they've
year.
They got Chris Paul.
So he's going to win. Just like that year, Dirk Nowitzki, when Dallas won 67 games, they gave him the award. You know, Russell Westbrook, triple doubles, you know, he got the award. This is a joke. The most valuable player in this league have for 10 years been LeBron.
Someone wants you to say the word amateur again.
Oh, I get this all the time. Amateur as opposed to amateur.
I think it's amateur.
Amateur?
I don't say
is
amateur.
Is it amateur or is it amateur?
Is it
amateur.
Is it premature?
You, is it an amateur, amateur or amateur?
Amateur. Is what I've
yeah, amateur.
Said.
It's
amateur. Sounds like there should be some lady guiding us
thank
through
you
places.
Well, it's A-M-A-T-E-U-R. Yeah. Amateur.
Saint the court of King James, man.
As amateur.
I sort of see a guy with his collar flipped up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of listeners out there that are into pronunciation.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even see these. The way Hartman says amateur makes me want to drive head on into traffic. What the hell is Hartman trying to say? Is he trying to say amateur?
Wow.
Wow. The ugliness.
Amateur or amateur?
I'll go ask Google. He knows.
You know what? Is Cliff Albert still here? He'll know.
Yeah, all right. Is it an amateur? Are you an amateur or an amateur?
Jack Cronin's closer.
Well, when you get older and you go through puberty, are you maturing or maturing?
Very good. Very good. I just combined like 6 words into one.
So we better go.
I can't speak anymore. I will not even say another word, which is really hard for me.
Yeah.
So while we're asking everybody to make their World Series predictions, we've gotten 400 text messages on the word amateur or amateur. All right. There you go. Let's wrap this up.
Number one.
Surprising news on the eve of baseball's opening day, and I'm not Diane Sawyer.
We start tonight in Anaheim, California. The surprising news from the Angels baseball organization, Steve.
Well, the Angels have announced that Shohei Ohtani, despite a spring training ERA of 27 and a spring training batting average of 107, will be starting for the Angels on Sunday in Oakland. And because they're going to hold him off until their fourth game, expect to see him in the lineup before then as either a DH or a pinch hitter. So despite the fact that his spring was a train wreck.
What was his ERA again?
27.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
And his batting average was 107 with no extra base hits. And
he can only go up from there.
Yeah, and he only faced really major league talent hitters twice.
Twice, and it had an ERA of 27. Yeah. He had a couple of behind-the-barn type things against minor leaguers, teams from Mexico and everything else. Couldn't get them out either.
Ernie's son's T-ball team.
But it's great because Socha, he looks great. He is ready to roll. Well... It's going to be a major turnaround. We'll see on Sunday when he starts against the A's. And then at the plate, he has a really slow swing.
Well, we have him in our wild card pick, so I'm hoping by the second half of the season.
Yeah, so bring it around.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, what are the odds of him being sent to the minors at some point this season?
Oh, I think they're great.
Yep, I think it's going to happen.
Speaking of the minors, Tim Tebow. It's going to open the season double A for the Mets.
All right. So until we start that new, what is it called? The AAF, the Alliance of American Football. He's going to get out there. All right. So again, we are looking for not just ways to pronounce the word amateur or amateur. We're asking you for your World Series picks. Which two teams will be there? Who's going to win the series? And who's going to be the league MVPs?
Real quickly, I went around Kogo, and everybody said the majority of what they've heard and what they know is amateur.
Amateur as well as the amateur.
Yeah, that's why they're the ass kickers and name takers that they
are. Amateur. All right, well, I'm going to amateur from now on. There you go.
This guy says amateur, and we're going to find out where does he have the Padres finishing in 2018. Billy Wendell is going to join us after this.
Hey, what's up? It's Rich. Coming up on the Mark and Rich Show tomorrow at 11. That's right. We're going to be jumping in early. It's Padres opening day. We're going to be downtown in the gas lamp at the Marriott. Drop by, say hi. We'll see you at the ball game, folks, on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Hey, join us next Monday at American Junkie in the Gas Lamp for our national championship viewing party, 628 Fifth Avenue. We're going to be broadcasting live as we walk you up to the big game here on your home of the madness, Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
When you think baseball, it's about history. No sport has had a richer history in this country than baseball. It's further back than football, certainly basketball, every other sport pales in its history. Not all good history, by the way, but that's how baseball is. In fact, this guy was there when the Cincinnati Red Stockings became that first professional team back in 1869.
What a time to be alive.
Billy Wendell. Billy, how... Yes, you remember the Red Stockings back then.
Absolutely, the Red Stockings. I threw out the first pitch of that game.
Yes, you did. Billy, you are a baseball guy, and I've known you a long time, and I know how much your passion for the game of baseball. What does opening day mean to you on your sports calendar, the sports junkie that you've been your entire life? Where do you rate opening day in Major League Baseball?
I think it's the apex. It really is. And the only unfortunate part about it, you mentioned the Cincinnati Red Stockings. I think every year they should open the season like they did many, many years ago in Cincinnati. I would love to go back to that tradition. And you mentioned baseball. Baseball is a tradition game. And I'd love to see the Reds open up every season and then the other teams fall into place. But it's a special day. I mean, it's a sign of spring, especially people who live in the East and the Midwest, the cold weather, the whole deal. You look forward to opening day, and it is a special, special day. Football doesn't have the impact, or basketball or hockey have the impact of an opening day like baseball. Baseball is number one as far as opening day is concerned.
Billy, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Who do you like out of the NL, the AL, as far as the World Series is concerned?
I think the Yankees are a really, really a good team with our good buddy Aaron Boone and the third base coach Phil Nevin.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for them. I mean, I think the Cubs will rebound this year. We might have a Cubs-Yankees World Series like we had in 1932. I mean, I think that's a possibility. I think those two teams are the teams I'm watching for. Look out. The Dodgers still are loaded for bear. There's a lot of good teams. I think when you look at baseball – today, you have some very good teams. I mean, there are going to be a couple of teams really knocking on the door this year that were not factors last year. So I think the baseball is in a good state right now. Of course, they got to still work to speed up the game. I think baseball is a great, great game. But I think see the Yankees and the Cubs in the World Series. Does Mr. Hartman agree with me on that?
Well, I have the Yankees in this series, but I'm going Nationals. I think that they are finally due for a breakthrough. And I think with Bryce Harper, with that potential $400 million contract looming, I think that Bryce Harper is going to have a monster year. Hey, Billy, I wanted to ask you about Shohei Ohtani. So this is the most hyped rookie in a long time coming into Major League Baseball, because coming out of Japan, he was hyped to be the next Babe Ruth, a guy that could be a dominant pitcher and dominant hitter. In two games against Major League competition, he posted a 27 ERA in spring training. Didn't fare a lot better against minor leaguers when he was off on the side. And he hit 107 with no extra base hits. And yet Mike Socha insists Ohtani is ready to take the league by storm. Do you buy it?
Not right now. I don't think he's ready for prime time. I think he could use a couple of weeks or a couple of months in minor league baseball. I think the expectations have really, really gone off the charts. I mean, they're comparing him to Babe Ruth. I mean, ridiculous. I think it's absolutely absurd. I mean, he may turn out to be a great player, but to put him in the same category with George Herman Ruth, I think it's totally out of line. I mean, George Herman Ruth came into baseball as a pitcher, and we know that what he did as a hitter. I mean, he still has a World Series record for consecutive innings, scoreless innings pitched in the World Series. I mean, Babe Ruth was special. I think that people have made a big mistake. Remember, it's a big adjustment from the Japanese League. Now, you can say Ichiro. Ichiro was a special, special guy. And remember, he was much older than Ohtani.
Billy, looking at the Final Four this weekend, the national championship game next Monday night, you're going to hear right here on Extra, by the way. Who do you like in the two matchups?
I like Villanova to beat Kansas. It'll be a close game. Both teams shoot the ball with efficiency from outside the three-point range. And I'll tell you, I'm going to give a nod to Chicago, my old Chicago. I really like this team. They have some real mojo going for them. I like those two teams to match up in the championship game on Monday night in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. I hate to play in the dome because depth perception is a real issue. And I think the last time Villanova played in there, they only used half the field, and they only had 40,000. This week, there'll be 70,000 people because they're using the entire football field and putting the basketball court right in the middle. I think that's totally absurd.
I went to the first time they totally expanded it. It was at Ford Field, 2009 championship game between Michigan State and North Carolina. It was ridiculous. I mean, I'm looking up there. Forget binoculars. You needed a telescope to see the basketball court from some of those seats. By the way, if Villanova wins again, Billy, from where you're from, the Philadelphia area, where does that register a Villanova national championship in basketball?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It would be great because the Eagles had just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And if Villanova wins the national championship, that's back-to-back championships in less than 3 months. That's an incredible accomplishment. I mean, you look at Villanova, the job that Jay Wright has done is remarkable. He does not get the McDonald's All-Americans. Yes, he gets good players, but they all buy into the culture at Villanova. And I'm going to tell you this, Steve and Mike. He is the best coach in the country. And Steve will say, oh, what about Krzyzewski? What about Izzo? No. He is the best coach in the country. He gets the maximum out of his players. They had a bad shooting day against Texas Tech. They rebounded. They came on strong at the end. This is a well-coached team. And Jay Wright, in my humble opinion, is the best coach in the country.
We only say that, Billy, because you're often mistaken for Jay Wright. Like, wherever you go, people are like, Jay.
Let me tell you something. Jay Wright walks out of Esquire magazine. I walk out of Mad magazine.
That is a great line, Billy. All right, Billy, tell everyone about that best-selling book of yours.
Okay, NoCurveballs.com or Amazon.com. Great read now. The springtime's here. A lot of people heading to the beach. I go get it. It's a great, great book. And Steve Hartman has a very integral part in the book.
Thank you, Billy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Billy.
Not a problem, guys. Thank you.
All right. I wanted to get in one quick call before we go to break. Randall wants to talk about my grammar.
Oh, get him, Randall.
Amateur versus amateur. Randall, how are you today?
Well, I'm great. I was going to say the reason why you're saying amateur is because you forgot to take your vitamins today.
It's my training in French. You see, I took 4 years of French. When I see T-E-U-R, it's tour, amateur, not amateur, all right? So I'm off, you're saying, Randall.
Well, what I'm saying is I think it's pronounced, you can pronounce it both ways. And Brady Papinga, I could have sworn to amateur too. So
all right. So, okay, Randall, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for that,
I will admit, though, because unlike what I should have done, of course, is taken Spanish, right? That's what most people do.
See, si,
but
si.
At my mother's encouragement, she wanted me to take French. I actually went to Paris to learn French.
Oh, excuse us.
I can't speak much of it anymore. Yeah. But when I see T-E-U-R, it comes out tour as opposed to chur.
Oh,
je suis à terre. Comment allez-vous? Très bien, merci. Vous êtes entré de malade dans la tête.
The only French word I know is retreat.
Oh, wow.
Where is the white flag?
Vous êtes très malade dans la tête. That's why I always like the great hockey names. Yvon Couillet.
Oh, yeah.
Yvon Couillet. So, yes, that's why I say amateur.
And thus ends, kids, your French lesson for today.
All right, mercifully. All right, now, if you thought the Rams were done with all their elaborate signings after they signed Ndamukong Suh, wait until you hear about their newest additions to the team. Coming up next.
Tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, well, the season is finally upon us. We're going to set the division with expectations for you in the NL West. Also, more Padres tickets to give away. We get started 6 a.m. on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
And don't forget, you can get in for the cannon shot of the day. Winner takes home a pair of tickets to see Rascal Flatts September 14th at Mattress Firm Amphitheater. You can call in 570-1360. Follow us on Twitter at Ken Hartman Acosta 1360. Text us 70470. Start your message with XTRA. We're getting a lot of people giving us their picks. We're asking you today which two teams will face off in the series, who will win the series, and who are your MVP picks. We're going to sort of get a consensus. Mm-hmm. Here's from Daniel. He's got Trout and Arenado as the MVPs. He's got the Dodgers beating the Red Sox in the World Series. He says, Dodgers win it all. Clayton will have two wins in the series and then save Game 7 to win series MVP honors. And then he says, Bryce Harper will sign with the Dodgers, $350 million contract.
Does he have the next month's lotto numbers as well? God, what a crystal ball.
That
good
was
work.
Well, he had a lot more than that. I had to edit it down, otherwise we'd be here all day. All right, let's see. Gary wants to get in his picks right now. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good, guys. I want to give my picks, but first I got to talk to Costa here. Costa, I heard you're throwing out the first pitch on May 7th.
May 7th?
Which happens to be my birthday, by the way.
Really?
Wow.
So thanks for ruining my birthday, but no, I think instead of, you know, by that time, probably is going to be looking for some arms, so you better work out. But instead of the fastball, instead of the curve, I think you should throw the Ephus pitch. Be the first guy to throw the Ephus pitch.
That's not a bad idea.
I can try.
Yeah. Okay, for my my pick, I'm going for the Dodgers, and ain't nobody's going to beat the Yankees in the East. I mean, they're just loaded. I mean, and then I'm going to pick the Yankees over the Dodgers in a seven-game series, and Aaron Judge will be the MVP.
Aaron Judge will be MVP. Well, we'll see, Gary. We'll see.
Okay.
It's going the Yankees all the way. By the way, Vera just sent in a little follow-up for her call earlier.
Oh, really? Twice in one
day?
She
said, thank you for taking my call. Now, she picked the Padres and the Yankees
she
in the
did.
World Series. And she said this, Chris Young, VIP. Padres win.
Well, ooh boy, to take home the VIP this year might be tough.
Well, if she meant MVP, Chris Young would be the first guy ever to win the MVP without actually playing in a game.
That's how good he is, man.
So Chris Young has already been told by the Padres he will not be on their major league roster.
Yeah.
And he said at age 38 he's not about to go back to the minors. But we'll see, Vera. Maybe if that's right, Vera, if Chris Young is MVP this year, that is going to be quite a story, to say the least. All right, the Rams have been making a lot of news. They got Marcus Peters. They got Aqib Talib. They got Ndamukong Suh.
They might get Odell Beckham Jr.
I mean, they're going for it. But now the Rams have truly made history.
Mm-hmm.
The Ram cheerleaders, the final squad, 40 girls. Wait a second. Make that 38 girls and two guys. And we're not talking about the kind of cheerleaders like, you know, male yell leaders like that. No, no. We're talking about two men that will be dancing with the girls as cheerleaders.
Yeah, Quentin Perrone and Napoleon Jennings.
And we saw the video of them dancing.
Oh, yeah.
They're right there with the girls.
Yeah, they're flying across the stage. They're classically trained dancers.
Right.
So I don't know exactly, you know, obviously they're going to be in the dance routines that the girls do.
Right. They're going to be, they're in the right, they're not separate.
Yeah.
In other words, they're going to be, usually with 40 girls, you have 10 in each corner of the stadium.
Yes.
So they're going to be included in one of those groups of 10.
Right.
Now, I don't know what they're going to wear. Obviously, they're not going to wear a female outfit. They'll have something for them special, but still.
Probably like dance tights and in a shirt that says Rams or something. No, I'll be honest with you. As meathead as some NFL fan bases are, if this was like Tennessee or if this was New England or something like that, I would say the guys are probably going to catch a lot of flack. But it's L.A., you know, and the fact that they're classically trained dancers.
Again, they showed them in the competition. By the way, the Ram cheerleaders, they can dance.
Yes.
And they were showing each one of these guys, they brought up, in the judges, they have two dancers at the same time.
Yeah.
So each one of these guys, they didn't dance against each other. They actually had a female dancer next to them. And they're, I mean, in sync. I mean, these guys are big time dancers. I don't know. I mean, is it a PC thing? I mean, when you think cheerleaders, again, for me personally, I'm not thinking about guys out there.
No, most of the NFL audience isn't.
Is this an LA thing? You know, I mean, the guys can dance. I mean, it's not a joke. I mean, these guys can dance. And the other thing they said is because, and I know this from the Raider experience, really, the games are almost side thing. The biggest thing for these cheerleaders is getting out in the community and attending all these events and everything
extension
else.
Extension of the PR department.
Which is a big part of it. And both these guys, they said, hey, fit the bill perfectly.
Having had a buddy who was a yell leader, cheerleader in college.
Yes.
He's one of the first people I would call if I ever needed somebody to watch my back in a street fight.
Right.
I mean, he was rocked.
Right.
Yoked.
Yeah.
And when you think of what some of those guys have to do.
Oh, yeah.
As far as, you know, lifting the cheerleaders up and all that crap. Yeah. You don't mess with male cheerleaders, but they're not going to be that type. They're not going to be the base of the human pyramid.
You know who was a yell leader at UCLA? Ralph Irvin.
What's Ralph?
Ralph. Our buddy Ralph, who now does national updates for Fox and, of course, was one of our producers back in the 690 days. He was part of that at UCLA.
Would he do that stupid UCLA clap thing?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Scene.
All right. So how many of you are excited to check out the guys that are going to be part of the cheerleading squad for the Rams? Get your reaction out there. 570-1360 at Cannon Hartman Acosta 1360. You can also text us at 70470. Also, I want to make it a big announcement. We got a Cannon contest.
Oh, that's right.
Coming up at 5:30 today.
Yeah. You know what's on the line? Only lunch with the Loose Cannons, courtesy of Sombreros, here at the station.
Okay, so you're saying, well, what's the contest, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell them now, or are you going to wait till 5:30?
All I'm going to say is we're going to need five Loose Cannon family members.
Okay, five.
To be calling us during the bottom of the hour, 5:30 break at 570-1360.
So don't call now. Wait till 5:30.
Don't call now, but we're going to need five of you. One of you is going to win the opportunity to have lunch on us here at the station, courtesy of Sombreros Mexican Food.
All right, so that's coming up at 5:30.
Yes.
A very special Cannon contest. All right, let's qualify some right now for the cannon shot of the day. A drum roll, please. This out. Cannon shot came from
a text line. If the Cannons win the bet, Willard has to take a shot out of Hartman's belly button.
Oh, I like that.
Well, the experts aren't being nice to our Padres. Where do we have them finishing in 2018? We're going to tell you where most have them ending up after this.